Please take your Bibles to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. And before we look to God's Word, let's look to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for giving us Your Son. Thank You for giving us Your Word. It tells us about Your Son and why He came and the importance of this event that changed the course of history. I pray that You would use this time here this morning, this passage, that You would give me wisdom and clarity to explain it, that You would help us to understand what Your Word is saying to us, that we might realize this is eternal truth that can change, transform us from the inside out, take us from being dirty, rotten sinners who are Your enemies, to make us Your children who have a hope and a future, an eternity with You, transformed through the power of the gospel. I pray that You'd use this time in our lives. Help us to be open to what Your Word has to say, to be changed into the image of Your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, The Generosity of Our Savior. The Generosity of Our Savior. Growing up, one of the things I've realized about my dad is that he is generous. Not that he has a lot. In fact, he, by the world's metrics, he really doesn't have that much. But he has always been generous with what he has. I can remember many times leaving for college, going back to college, and he'd hand me a $50 bill or more for gas. There were times when he paid for things. He helped buy my first vehicle. And when I went off to college, he said, "Don't worry about the rest of it." I'd been making payments to him. You just pay towards college now. I mean, that was generous of him. There was another time that I inadvertently, didn't realize at the time, but blew up my transmission because I drained the transmission oil. I thought I was changing the oil, and he paid $1,400 to get that fixed. And I'm so thankful for my dad's generosity. I didn't deserve it, but he showed himself generous. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, Paul reminds or tells Timothy to remind the believers in Crete about the generosity of their Savior, which we need to be reminded of as well. This week, we're beginning a four-week Christmas series from the Apostle Paul's mentions of Christ's coming to earth, and it's the truth that we celebrate at Christmas. And we will seek to learn what Paul is teaching us about our Savior from each of these passages. This one, Titus 3, 4 through 7, then Galatians 4, 4 and 5, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, and then lastly, right before Christmas, 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 17. All contributing truth about our Savior's coming and why He came and the importance of it. Now this book, the book of Titus, was written by Paul as a letter to his co-worker, Titus, who he had left, as you see in the beginning of the book, at the island of Crete to finish setting up the churches there. There was, that Paul and Barnabas had come to town, preached the gospel, yet they had to move on. And there was still a lot of work to do. And so he had sent Titus back to finish things up. And so he writes to instruct Titus on what a true church leader looks like. And that's really chapter 1. Chapter 2 and 3 is what a true church looks like. What are some the qualities of a sound church and how we should be acting outside of the church. And that's really where chapter 3 picks it up. As Paul instructs Titus to remind the Cretan believers how to act towards others, and then he reminds them of their past and what God did to change them. And that's where we're going to focus on today. And it is from these words that we learn about the generosity of our Savior by understanding three ways that I want to show you in these verses. How Jesus is generous with us, as well as the Cretan believers. And I would just say this too, the passage that we will look at is bookended on the beginning with a reminder of our prior sin state, And he, on the other end, transitions to a call to do good to those around them. And that flows out of the truth that he will explain to them in these verses. So what are some of the ways that Jesus is generous, our Savior is generous with us? First way we find in verse 4, his manifest kindness and love. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it says. Notice it says, but when there is a particular time, this is the time of year that we celebrate that. But according to, as we'll look at next week, according to Galatians 4, it was when the fullness of times had begun or come. It was at a particular point in history when God knew that it was time to send His Son. It had been thousands of years of history had passed. We have lived thousands of years since then. It was a point in time when it was time to send His Son. It says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior, that time was a time when He showed Himself to us, showed His kindness or goodness, and His love. And it's interesting, the love here is not the word for agape. It's not true love. It's actually the word for a love of mankind. It's more the phileo love. It is the love that we should have for one another. I mean, it just naturally you should have a love of mankind. We're all fellow human beings. We shouldn't be hating one another. We should be loving one another. But why was this shown? It was when God our Savior. Notice it is God our Savior, and we'll find out very quickly that God our Savior is Jesus. It even calls Him that in verse 6. Jesus Christ our Savior. He has called Him that several times already, Jesus Christ our Savior, in verse 4 of chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 10 says, God our Savior, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. You see, God is the one who needs to save us, rescue us. And He does that by showing His kindness and love towards us. Love that we do not deserve. And notice that the verse started with but, a contrast with the previous state of verse 3. We ourselves were once also foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts or desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That was our state before Christ. That was the state of what God sent His Son, showing His manifest kindness and love. This is when He appeared. When He came in visible form to us, not just showing up as like an angel, but becoming one of us. In fact, back in chapter 2, verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He walked among us. He became one of us. And He had to, according to Hebrews chapter 2, in order to die for us. We'll explore that truth as well. But He showed His generosity in showing His manifest kindness and love. Some of you know the story of when I was pursuing my wife, who was not my wife yet. You can ask her, but I took many opportunities to show my interest in her. I showed lots of kindness and love to her. It was probably more phileo at that point. She didn't always receive it as kindness and love, more annoyance and awkwardness, but thankfully God worked and she later appreciated that, and we are married today. Thankful for that. How much more did God look for the opportunity to show His kindness and love toward us? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He looked for that opportunity because of His love. Do you realize what it costs God to show you His love and His kindness? Romans 5:8 tells us that God demonstrated His love toward us while we were still sinners, when we were His enemies. That's when He sent His Son. That's when He came to die for us. This is the kindness and love of God. Do you understand how great this kindness and love is, especially in light of how sinful we are? Think of Ephesians chapter 2, which begins by talking about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins, walking according to the prince or the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We simply just did what we wanted. And we're by nature children of wrath. We were under God's wrath because of that. Just as the others. That's where we all are. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness. There's our word. Toward us in Christ Jesus. It is through Christ He has shown us His great kindness. Don't underestimate what God has done for us, especially when we didn't deserve it. That's the point that God showed His kindness and His love toward us. Are you amazed at the manifest kindness and love of our generous Savior? First way. Second way, His merciful salvation and renewal in verses 5 and 6. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Paul here is explaining how our Savior saved us. Not by our works of righteousness. Not by what we have done. In fact, the Bible says that is like filthy rags. It's the word there for menstrual rags. In Isaiah 64:6. And again, like in Galatians 2:16, Romans 3:20, not by the deeds of the law shall anyone be justified or made right. You can't be good enough. In fact, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 8 says that if you try to be good, it actually adds to your debt. Because it's like trying to bribe the judge. How would that work in a court of law? You'd get a harsher sentence. We cannot be good enough. Not by our effort, not by anything that we do, not any money that we pay, not any good deeds that we do. You cannot balance the scale because it's not how it works. But this is the answer, according to His mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And what do we deserve? We deserve to burn in hell, death, eternal death forever. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. That's what we all deserve. Eternal punishment. But for the mercy of God, who didn't give that to us, but instead He saved us. How? Through the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Is a work of the Holy Spirit who washes us clean. Using that picture of taking a bath, washing off the filth. But this is a filth that you can't get, that water of this world won't cleanse. It is the washing of the Holy Spirit that is needed. Regeneration, new birth. This is why John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, you must be born again. And Nicodemus struggled to understand that in the context there. He's like, wait, how can I go back into my mom and be born again? That just doesn't work. I'm too big now. Right? Jesus says, you're a teacher of law. Don't you understand these things? You need to be born of the Spirit. You're born of the flesh once, yes, of your mom. But now you need to be born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God who works in us and renews us from the inside out. How does He renew us? It's through the Word. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 talks about that. The washing of the Word. The Bible also talks about the renewing of our minds. Colossians 3:10, Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. You know, don't walk, you know, your mind used to be darkened like the Gentiles. You were going, you know, your own way. As it says, you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, that's lack of social restraint, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. This is what we need. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is what we need. We need transformation by the Spirit from the inside out. Renewal, regeneration, new birth, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This is what changes us. And notice verse 6 goes on to say, whom He poured out on us abundantly or richly. It's not just like, you know, a few drops. It's like the deluge. You ever had like a 5-gallon bucket of water poured over you? Or bigger? It's like the force of it just hits you. This is like having an ocean dumped on us. He abundantly poured out on us. Not just a little, but He dumped this out on us. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus, our Savior, Christ, our Messiah, our Anointed One. He is the one that works through us, and we've already seen this is God working in us. God doing this. This is why Paul can say of the Corinthians, you were washed, you were sanctified, you are justified. The work of the Spirit. We see the pouring out of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. You know, He comes on the day of Pentecost and He's visibly shows signs of that. And He comes to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, verse 45 at Cornelius. But He is just as at work in our lives according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5 that we're going to be learning next week. This is where He works in us. We're justified. By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have access by faith in His grace and hope in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Then our verses that we're learning today, we have glory in tribulation, knowing tribulation, perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. This is how it works in our lives. He pours out on us through the Holy Spirit because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. This is where power for daily living comes, as we have the Holy Spirit within us. Romans 8 tells us we walk not in the flesh but in the Spirit. We can have victory. We can live as those who conquer sin, as Romans 8 finishes. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Because we have the Spirit within us. We need to live like it. But it's through this relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is through Him that one day we can look forward to, as Philippians 3:20 tells us, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to myself, or to Himself. And then goes on, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast, in the Lord. This is the work of God. And notice all members of the Trinity are involved here. You have God, our Savior, verse 3. You have the Spirit in verse 5, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. They're all involved in our salvation. God is at work. He is merciful in saving and renewing us. You know, there are people out there that like to save old junk and take it and make it new again. How many of you like to do that? Maybe it's taking old things and turning them into new decorations. You know, some of you, you put a new coat of paint on it, you take a part of something, and it becomes something useful. Whereas before it was just headed for the junk heap. Or maybe you like to take cars, old cars, and clean them up, give them new paint. You know, maybe even grind it down to the metal, bare metal, give them. I mean, I always enjoy the classic car or the car show that comes to Dysart every year and walking up and down. And some of those guys have put hundreds, if not thousands of hours into restoring those vehicles. Has a new lease on life, has a new purpose. Do you see how God, our Savior, loves to save and renew dirty, rotten sinners? How much more? He doesn't just take, you know, stuff. He takes people who have no hope, no future, who once were His enemies, and now He transformed them into His children who have a hope and a future. Do you understand that this is not due to any work of our own, but all according to His mercy when we really deserve death, eternal death? The wages of sin is death. Do you realize that the role the Holy Spirit plays in regenerating and renewing us? It starts at our salvation, but it continues through our sanctification as He transforms us from the inside out through the renewing of our minds. We think differently, and as we think differently, we act differently, and it changes our whole life. Some of you can give testimony of a life of who you were and now who you are. And it's a huge difference. I don't have the testimony of one who has been visibly changed that much. But I can tell you, my heart was just as dirty and rotten. It was all on the inside. I had a facade. And God changed me from the inside out. Has He changed you? Has that happened in your point, in your life, where you have come to understand you need Christ, and you can't save yourself? You say, God, I'm a sinner. I can't do this. It's not by myself. And you grasp the abundance of His mercy, and you say, God, I trust in You. Save me today. Have you been rescued by His mercy, or are you still trying to save yourself? It won't work. It only makes things worse. Will you cast yourself on His mercy and find salvation through Christ alone? Don't delay. Don't put it off. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6, today is the day of salvation. Make sure of your salvation today. All of us know people who suddenly died. We all know we're going to die someday, right? But we all live as if it'll never happen. Isn't that ironic? When we should be preparing for the day of our death. And the way to do that is through trusting in Jesus Christ, the one who died to save you from death and to give you a hope and a future. Urge you to do that today. If you have not done so, talk to me. I'd love to explain that more. Are you being renewed by the Spirit daily after He's regenerated your mind? You see, He doesn't just want to give you new birth. He wants to renew all of you. So much that, you know, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He wants to change us from the inside out. Not just slap on a fresh coat of paint, call it good. No, He wants to drastically transform us. How do we do that? It's through the Word. Through God's Word, as He changes how we think, we learn what He says. The Spirit of Word, God takes the Word of God and changes us to be like the Son of God. We need to get into the Word. That's why we stress Bible studies. That's why we encourage you, to be here, to sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Because the more of God's Word goes into you, the more of sin and Satan and the flesh comes out. There's only place for one. And it needs to be God in our lives. Are you amazed at the merciful salvation and renewal of our generous Savior? Should be. We're not done. There's another way that He shows His generosity in verse 7. His magnanimous justification and inheritance. Having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Paul here is explaining how our Savior, by grace, what is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's kind of the other side of the coin of mercy. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. What do we don't deserve? We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve all the blessings that are ours through Jesus. Again and again, Romans 3:24 tells us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is free. It is undeserved favor. It is something that is given. Romans chapter 5, verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift of God, by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Romans 11:6. And if by grace then is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace, but is of works is no longer grace. Otherwise work is no longer work. Say, if you try to pay for it, you try to do something for it, it's not grace anymore. It's not a gift. You've just turned it into something that you deserved, a reward. But God offers it freely. What does He offer? He gives us His justification. We have been justified by His grace. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be made right. You see, this is better than being made innocent. It's not just as if I've never sinned. It's actually better than that. It is the righteousness of God, of Christ. It is the great exchange, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 explains, how God takes away our sin and gives us His righteousness. And it is through Jesus Christ that this is possible. That's why we've been learning this passage in Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, that's how it becomes ours. We accept it. We believe. Nothing we do. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace, this undeserved favor in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. It is all of grace. It's not of us. And it is because of this that He makes us, the result here, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. His grace enables us to be justified or made right, which means now we can become His heirs. We can go to heaven. We have hope of eternal life because the only kind of people who can go to heaven are perfect people. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. Well, we're all hosed, aren't we? Right? The only one who deserves to go to heaven is Jesus. And that's the wonder and the beauty of Christmas, is God became a man. He lived a perfect life. And He died a death He did not deserve, so that He would pay the price. And He can take His righteousness and give it to us. And so that all who believe in Him through faith can be made right. This is the amazing truth. So I say, His magnanimous. I'm not saying that right. Magnanimous. Magnanimous. There we go. It's all of those, right? You know, I toyed with magnificent. I had to add an M. Okay, I'll admit it. But, you know, it's this huge, it's a big word, but it conveys the bigness, the generosity of his justification and inheritance. We who did not deserve this future, we deserved an eternity in hell. And God instead gives us eternity in heaven, hope of eternal life. This is what a contrast. And it is ours through faith. A hope for the future. Without Christ, we have no hope, as Ephesians chapter 2 says. Without Christ, death awaits. But it is only through Him that we have hope of eternal life. I love the second half of verse of Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is death. That's really depressing, right? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we're not just talking about eternal life, survival. By life, Scripture and Christ mean truly living, a vibrant living. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Life to the fullest. Where you are loved and you love and there's just no end to that. It is a richness. This last week hopefully you got to spend some time with family. And those are great times, right? Not always is it, but we look forward to times when we are with those who love us and we love them. That's what eternity is with Christ, is where you are with the one who loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. He loved you with a perfect love. It says God is love. He shows us what love is and enables us to love others. And the amazing part about love is it's not a limited resource. I realized this a few years ago. We're having kids and another one comes along and your heart just expands. And you have another one and it expands again. That is love. That is because it comes from God who is love. That is the full, abundant life, eternal life that is ours through Christ. It's part of our inheritance. I think it was my junior year of college. I went into the pay my and make a payment on my bill, and I discovered my college bill dropped off. I still had like $4,000 left on it. My dad had paid it off. I was floored. I didn't expect that. And he just wanted to do it. That was one of the things that enabled my wife and I to graduate from faith debt-free. I was getting married that summer. And He provided. Do you realize the greatness of God, our Savior, and His grace to you? Are you overwhelmed in response? Do you understand His justification and making you right before God because of His grace? It is yours through faith. You trust in Him. Do you see how this leads to your inheritance and hope of eternal life? Because you have been made not innocent, but righteous before God. All through Christ. How amazing. Do you realize how much we don't deserve to inherit anything for God? What we really deserve to inherit from Him is eternal death, damnation forever. But through His grace, we've been made sons and joint heirs, as Romans 8 says, with Christ. Equal with Him. Like, we get to experience all the blessings with Him. How amazing and incredible is that? Are you amazed at the magnanimous justification and grace of our generous Savior? I hope you are. You know, Christmas time is often when we are generous with others. And sometimes it takes weeks to figure out what we're going to give to a certain person. I mean, my wife and I, we've been planning, plotting already, especially when they've been telling us, you know, better be prepared because, you know, the chain, you know, the whole supply chain's a mess and everything, and you might not get things in time for Christmas. So, you know, we've been trying to figure those things out early this year. It takes time. It took like a whole week or more, just almost every night, figuring, all right, this. And we want to be generous to those we love. How much more the planning that God put into being generous with us. Do you see the ways that He did it in His manifest kindness and love, His merciful salvation and renewal, and His magnanimous justification and inheritance? Are you amazed at the generosity of our Savior? The question is, how will you respond? If you notice, the very next verse says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, notice the good works don't come before you're saved. But like Ephesians 2:10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We have a job to do now. We've trusted in Jesus Christ, and we need to live it, and we need to do good to those around us. No longer just thinking about ourselves, but being generous with those around us as He has been generous with us. Will you seek to serve as He served us? Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this challenge. We thank You for the generosity that You showed us through Your Son. Help us to respond with a generous spirit and to do good to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.